You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wonderful, majestic world around us. It's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
This week on Dear Science, we are joined once again by our expert, Professor Alan Blackman. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Castor. And Global Studies.
Global Studies.
Global Studies. What the heck is Global Studies? Because that's massive. That's everything.
I have no clue. I've asked several Global Studies majors what that is, and exactly. They've all gone back to me saying, I don't know.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Global Studies, I mean, to me, it appears like some sort of study of maybe international relations, but then that's also part of the politics degree.
Let's call it that then. You know, we're talking, we've just been talking language off here. And, anyway, we won't go there because we'll
getting into some clarifications now, actually, right?
Because we are.
Well, yes, that's the reason why Ernie's on the bill for today.
Absolutely. More ways than one, yes.
Who is Ernest Rutherford, for those who don't know?
Yeah, well, that's a very, very good question. And we're sort of doing Dear Science a little bit differently today. We normally have three stories. Today we're only going to have one, and it's going to be all about Ernest Rutherford. The reason being is that we have the return of a very stable genius in the White House who decided that the Americans split the atom.
Which is, I mean, patently our thing. We did that.
Well, there's the thing. Okay, so here's a question for you two. What did Rutherford get his Nobel Prize for?
Oh, it's not splitting the atom, otherwise you wouldn't be asking
this
question.
It's absolutely not splitting the atom.
Probably something far more complicated, if I had to imagine.
No, it's all about radioactivity.
Ah.
So, Rutherford, for those of you who don't know, and I'm sure you all do, so he is easily New Zealand's most well-known and demonstrably greatest scientist. Who was it? Einstein called him another Newton. So that's pretty high praise indeed. So, you know, we love our Ernie because he did amazing things. And one of those amazing things, as every school child gets taught in this country, is that he split the atom.
Yep.
And those of you paying attention to current affairs and everything will have noted a couple of weeks ago when Donnie came back that he was going on about the Americans being the ones that split the atom. So I thought I would talk about that today and talk about exactly what is meant by splitting the atom, because the language of it is really not very clear.
How does one split an atom?
Right, exactly. And was he actually splitting an atom?
Mm.
So let's talk all about that, and this will take a wee while. Oh. Okay, so stop me when you've heard enough. Okay.
I'm locked in.
So this is all chemistry, so I'm just going to go chemistry on you. So basically we're talking about atoms, okay? And what are atoms? Atoms are the smallest building blocks of matter, okay? And since the ancient Greek times, when some philosopher said, everything's made up of these things called atoms, and that's where the name comes from. So it comes from the Greek atomos, meaning indivisible.
Because it was the smallest thing.
Right. And so they were saying, everything must be made up. And they had no sort of scientific proof or anything like that, but they said everything's made up of these tiny, tiny, little indivisible things. Now, indivisible is a big word here because this persisted right through to sort of the late 19th century, and it was thought that, yes, atoms existed. They thought, yep, that makes sense, and that atoms are indivisible. So you can't break them up into anything smaller, okay? And then around about sort of the late 19th century, in fact, 1896 to be exact, a French dude by the name of Henri Becquerel discovered this thing called radioactivity. And radioactivity is all to do with the atoms being very divisible. In fact, the atoms are breaking up before your very eyes.
Yeah, now we're figuring out maybe the name atom not so apt.
Not so apt, yes. Yeah. And so with the advent of radioactivity, then people were thinking, well, heck, what's going on here? We thought these things were indivisible. Mm-hmm. It turns out that they're not. And Rutherford was essentially right place, right time, and he came along and said, well, you know, here's what I think's happening. And he, you know, did some experiments and everything, and he basically showed that, so that the atoms weren't indivisible, that through the process of radioactivity, you were getting emanations, you were getting the ejection of particles from atoms, okay? Mm. And that as a result of that, atoms were turning into different types of atoms, although they didn't know that quite yet. Okay, right. But he knew that they were spitting out these particles.
They were doing stuff.
Absolutely. And one of these things are called alpha particles. Okay. And these, what they did know, that these were helium atoms minus a couple of electrons. Okay, so essentially what an alpha particle is it's a nucleus of a helium atom. Now, back in the day, they didn't know this thing, nucleus, they didn't know any of that. And that came with Rutherford as well, because Rutherford, in other amazing bloody experiments that he did, he figured out what the structure of the atom was. And he said that the atom had most of its mass in this little thing called the nucleus. So 99% of the mass of an atom is in this tiny little thing called a nucleus, which is positively charged. And then the electrons, which balance all the charge, are busy floating around in space somewhere, all around this
just wandering
tiny,
around.
Positively charged, massive nucleus. Okay. So now we've got the two sort of ideas that we can talk about this splitting the atom through. We've got this idea of a nucleus of an atom, and we've got this idea of these things called alpha particles, okay? Now, alpha particles are made naturally. So say the atomic, nuclear decay of uranium, for example. If you've got a uranium sample,
that's plenty of those at home.
Spitting out, and that's the way radioactivity was discovered. They're spitting out these alpha particles at a great rate of knots.
Okay? So are they not very good for you?
No, not great. No, not great, especially if you ingest them.
Yes.
Okay, you don't want them inside you.
Avoiding alpha particles.
Absolutely. And so Rutherford realized that these alpha particles are really energetic, okay, and he thought, let's see what happens if we shoot them at things, basically.
Right.
And so what he did over a series of about five years, he took these alpha particles and he was shooting them at nitrogen gas. Okay. And basically what he wanted to find out was what's going on there.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was the biggie. This is sort of the experiment that is alluded to whenever we talk about splitting the atom.
Yeah. Does he split in anything?
Kind of. Yes, kind of, but not in the way that I would sort of say that you're splitting the atom per se, okay? So what he found, the really interesting thing he found and why he kept on going with this is that when he's shooting these alpha particles at this sample of nitrogen gas, you get an even more energetic particle, different sort of particle given out.
Okay? Right.
Really energetic, more energetic than the alpha particles that were coming in.
Bit of a conversion process going on.
Yeah, so something's happening there. So he was trying to figure out, right, what is happening there? And he put his massive brain to it and he thought, what these might be, what this radiation, this energetic radiation that's coming out might be hydrogen nuclei, the nucleus of the hydrogen atom.
Right. And that sounds a bit more potent.
And, you almost got the word there, actually, because these are protons.
Protons.
Okay.
Yeah, close enough.
Now, and so what he did in this experiment was he actually discovered the proton. And the proton is what your nucleus is made of. Well, it's one of the things that your nucleus is made up of. So the proton's got a positive charge, it's got a definite mass, and you stick a whole lot of them together, you get all the different types of atoms, and like an atom with one proton will be a hydrogen atom, an atom with two protons will be a helium, with three protons will be lithium, etc., etc., etc. So the number of protons in the nucleus is all important. And he discovered that in this experiment where he supposedly split the atom.
A bit of a dissection of the atom.
Well, yes, kind of. Okay, so what's going on? You've got this nitrogen nucleus or nitrogen atom, okay, and you're shooting these alpha particles at it.
Right? Yep.
Alpha particles are positively charged. You've got this nucleus that's positively charged. What do we know about positive with positive?
Don't like each other so much.
They do not like each other at all, okay?
Bit of a rejection.
And so in order to get what was going on happening, you've got these really energetic alpha particles, you've got this nitrogen nucleus that's got a positive charge on it, and so really they are going to repel each other as much as they can, but these alpha particles, very, very energetic, so once in a while one gets through, and when one gets through it gets absorbed, it gets eaten up by the nitrogen nucleus, okay? And when it does that, that nitrogen nucleus then immediately gains two protons and to neutrons. Now, we didn't even know about neutrons, and Rutherford didn't know about neutrons at this stage, okay?
Completely off the table.
And what actually happens is that you turn this nitrogen atom into a fluorine atom.
Oh.
Ah.
That's now, pretty handy.
And again, he didn't know that, okay? Now, this fluorine atom that you made is seriously, seriously, seriously unstable. It doesn't like being what it is. And what it then does to make itself happier is it spits out a proton.
A proton, right.
Okay? So that's the whole process that's going on, this supposed splitting of the atom. This is the process. You've got a nitrogen atom. You've got this helium nucleus. The nitrogen atom gobbles up the helium nucleus. It forms this bigger fluorine atom, which then wants to be stable. And so the fluorine atom spits out a proton. And as it does that, it forms oxygen. just to make things really complicated.
Right. So it goes through a bit of a metamorphosis.
Exactly. That's a good word for it. So you start with nitrogen, you fleetingly form fluorine, and then you end up with the stable oxygen. Okay. So what he actually did was the first instance of transmutation, turning one element into another. And you can't do that. You can't take an atom of carbon and turn it into an atom of nitrogen or something like that. But you can.
Can't turn lead into gold.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But now, thanks to the wonders of the nucleus, you could. So when we're talking about Rutherford splitting the atom, what he... I guess if you're talking semantics, what he did do was split... he split an alpha particle into a proton.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he did. He sort of split the alpha particle and turned that into a proton, and then something else that had a couple of these things called neutrons. And Rutherford realized that something was wrong with the mass accounting, the accounting of all of the mass going on, okay? And things were out by a factor of roughly two or so. And he thought, hang on, so there must be another particle in there somewhere that we don't know about because it's not charged, so we can't see it using the apparatus that we've got.
Which would be the neutron, which is neutrally charged.
Right, absolutely. You know, neutron walks into a bar, asks for a beer, you know, the bartender says, you know, he says, how much is it? The bartender says, for you, no charge.
Yeah.
You know, old joke.
Pretty good
ka-ching, one. Ka-ching, ka-ching. I know. But, and the neutron was duly discovered about 15 years later by one of Rutherford's students, okay, a guy by the name of Chadwick. And, so that's what we mean by splitting the atom. That's what Rutherford was doing. So we have these ideas of splitting that, and we sort of think of the atomic bomb.
Yes, right. Okay? I was just going to ask about the atomic bomb. So how does that have to do with splitting the atom?
Okay, so the atomic bomb is a process of nuclear fission. Okay. And when we're talking splitting the atom there, we're talking splitting the atom.
Yeah, we're breaking in half.
We pretty much are. We're taking this big sucker atomic nucleus, okay? Yep. And in the case of uranium, it's got 92 protons in it, okay? And if we give a certain isotope of uranium, if we give that a neutron, remember, neutrons are neutral, so they can get into the nucleus.
Right. Yeah, okay? And not going to get rejected by anything.
Right, precisely. Yep. And if that gobbles up that one neutron, then it splits into two sort of roughly equal parts.
Right.
Roughly. Plus it kicks out a couple of neutrons. And those couple of neutrons can then go and find other nuclei and do it again. And that kicks out another two neutrons and do it again. And lo and behold,
you've got a chain reaction. Yeah.
There you go. You've got a chain reaction, okay? So you can only do this for certain particular nuclei that are what we call fissile nuclei, okay? So uranium-235, plutonium-239, and I'm not going to go there. I think plutonium-241, but don't quote me on that,
right.
Okay? But that's kind of what you're talking about when you're talking about atomic bombs, or as we should really call them, nuclear bombs, because it's all to do with the nucleus, okay?
Yeah. So two different processes there.
Essentially, in that case, you're talking about a neutron-activated fission. In what Rutherford was doing, you're talking about bombarding it with these alpha particles, and then you form what's called a composite nucleus, and then that composite nucleus stabilizes itself by ejecting some sort of particle. And the really weird thing about... Okay, so Rutherford actually didn't know a lot of this as he was doing it. He didn't know, for example, that he's forming a fluorine, an unstable fluorine. Yep. He didn't know that he was forming oxygen at the end, okay? He didn't know about the whole artificial transmutation thing, that he's turning nitrogen into oxygen. What he did know was that he's spitting out these things called protons, and that these protons are the part of the nucleus, okay? So they're a constituent of the nucleus, and they've got a positive charge. And all of that stuff was worked out by a guy called Patrick Blackett, okay, who was, again, was another student of Rutherford. So Rutherford, I think I'm right in saying that 9 of Rutherford's students or co-workers went on to win Nobel Prizes.
Wow. I mean, that's a great track record.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he really was quite extraordinary. And this guy by the name of Blackett, he was working with a thing called a cloud chamber, which Rutherford didn't have access to, or Rutherford didn't have. And these cloud chambers, every time you got a little charged particles, they'd leave little tracks in the cloud. Essentially, you're forming little clouds, and they leave tracks. And he took around about, apparently, 400,000 photos.
A lot.
Or got photos of 400,000 of these processes, anyway. That might be more accurate. And then on the basis of that, he figured out that, yes, what's going on is nitrogen's gobbling up the alpha particle, forming fluorine, and then decaying to give oxygen. And Rutherford's sort of proposal was a little bit wrong in that respect. He didn't know about the gobbling up, but he knew about the
problem. So we're almost going and discovering even more processes in this little one action.
Yeah, I mean, this one set of experiments just spawned a hell of a lot of knowledge about the nucleus. And, you know, this is why Rutherford was so highly regarded, just the amount of work that he did. He was, by all accounts, a really seriously good experimentalist, and plus thinking about the experiments and thinking about what the results of the experiments meant and everything like that. And so that, in a very, very short in a very short 20 minutes or so, that's essentially what is meant by splitting the atom. That's what we talk about when we say that Rutherford split the atom. In fact, what he did was discover the proton and carry out artificial transmutation in the one experiment, rather than splitting the atom. I really don't like the term splitting the atom, but that was, you know, probably invented to just kind of explain it to the general public, sort of thing, because, you know, as you've heard, it's not the simplest process to explain. You've got to know a bit of, you know, but hopefully those listening will be a little bit more aware of now what the actual term means.
Yeah. So, for those listeners, if you ever managed to get your hands on a $100 bill in real life, I haven't seen one before, but now you'll know what to thank Ernest Rutherford for. And in its absence, you can now share this handy bit of trivia with anyone. So it's basically like having a $100 bill in your mind, sort of. All right, thanks for sharing this lovely story with us, Alan. Thank you, Moshat, and thank you, Science. As always, we'll be right back after this short break. Keep it on the beat.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.